Today we celebrate the feast of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit came upon those early disciples and filled them with the wisdom, the courage, the strength to begin the work of spreading this glorious story, of sharing the good news both through word and deed, at first on the streets of Jerusalem, but soon thereafter to distant lands. The reading from Acts that we just heard, we hear of how, after the Holy Spirit had filled the disciples as they were all gathered in that upper room, it soon spilled out into the streets of Jerusalem, where some were amazed, some were perplexed, and others sneered. But despite the sneering of some in the crowd, Peter, standing with the other disciples at his side, that same Peter who not long before had in fear denied Christ after his arrest, Peter boldly addressed the crowd and preached the good news. In the verses that immediately follow the passage that we just heard, Peter testifies, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by hands outside of the law. But God raised him up, freed him from death because it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Upon hearing Peter's extemporaneous, spirit-filled sermon, we have recorded the first responses of the first converts, who upon being convicted by Peter's words, asked simply, "What should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We are told that following Peter's spirit-filled proclamation, approximately 3,000 were added to the church's numbers, and that those converts then devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Soon thereafter, Acts tells the story of the spreading of the gospel outside of Jerusalem. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, those disciples, those apostles, later joined by Paul, dispersed throughout the Roman Empire, establishing churches across the Middle East, Southern Europe, and Northern Africa. Over 1,500 years would pass before Christianity would be introduced to the shores of this continent where we live. But whether the church has been present for 1,500 years, as can be claimed here, or for 2,000 years, as can be claimed by the church in Jerusalem, for 500 years, as can be claimed here, or 2,000 years, as can be claimed in Jerusalem, we, nonetheless, are all bound together by the same Spirit in the same body. You and I, like all Christians throughout the world today, share a common debt. That is, we are all Christians in thanks in part to the courage and determination of other Christians who, before us, decided to accept Christ's proclamation to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. We are indebted to those who understood the words that the resurrected Jesus spoke to his disciples in the passage that we just heard from John's gospel. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It is an incredible thing to consider it when you think of how it all started. The history of the church. That birthday of the church in that upper room where a small group had gathered together. There would have been no way for any outsider to predict that this small gathering would have such a dramatic impact on the entire world for all of history that would follow. From the outside, they must have seemed like a rather pitiful bunch. Many of them merely Galilean fishermen who had given up their livelihood to follow an itinerant preacher for a couple of years as he wandered around the Galilean countryside, preaching a message of forgiveness and repentance based on the kingdom of God being at hand. To outsiders, it must have appeared that this Jesus of Nazareth had made a rather unwise decision to take his preaching out of the countryside and into the streets of Jerusalem, to the centers of power, both worldly and religious, in that area. It was there that his message was found to be a challenge to the powers of his day, and it was there that to outsiders, these followers had lost their leader, when instead of marching them to earthly victory, he died on a cross. But unbeknownst to those outsiders, those gathered in the room, in that upper room, weren't followers of a dead miracle worker. They were disciples of the resurrected and living Son of God, and they were not alone in that room. They were being visited by the very Holy Spirit of God, which would, as promised, be with them forever. From that day forward, those gathered in that room and those who would come to follow after them in the love of Jesus Christ would be equipped with the Holy Spirit, which now abides with us here in Greenville, South Carolina, and throughout the world. Wherever the name of Jesus Christ is preached and repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. By gathering here this morning to proclaim the good news, we will continue to encounter, to share that very same Holy Spirit that burst forth from that upper room 2,000 years ago.